Hey everybody, welcome to the Big Buck Podcast. My name is Dan Javin. Today is Sunday, April 28th, 2024, and joining me today, we have Janos Adanian. Janos, welcome to the podcast. What you been doing this past week?
Took a week off and visited family and digging myself out of work and doing some continuum missions when I have a minute.
Yeah, glad to have you back, buddy. Frank, welcome back again for another week. Glad to have you, and it looks like you've got something interesting going on there. What's going on?
Oh, I've been playing Evony, The King's Return, the number one mobile game, and let me tell you, it is great. We're going to cover all sorts of tactics today, how to get your keep up to level 21 where you can really take off and get some generals you can ascend and level them up.
Mm-hmm. Make sure you load up your debit card with a whole bunch of extra dollars before you try to get to level 22. Nifty Mittens joining us again. Welcome, Nifty. How's life?
Oh, good. Busy. The opposite way of Genos. I'm extra busy as I prepare for vacation. So I'm trying to stay ahead of all the problems that come with going away.
Enjoy. And joining us again, Automaton 2000. Hey, buddy.
I was told you would not be throwing it to me, so I'm not sure how to respond. No, I've been gardening this week. I think I said on stream earlier, having a lot of fun setting things up for the vegetables. Unfortunately, WRG gave me the botanist trait, so I'm going to have to audit that a little bit later.
Botanist and gardener, they maybe the trait audit is due for a little bit of a merge in some areas. But anyways, well, I'm glad to have you all here. We got a little bit of news to talk about today. But first, just a little bit of a plug for the Big Book Podcast mailbag. If any of you would like to reach out to us, please drop a line on any of our previous videos. Or jump in our Trek Time Discord. We're always happy to see our fans and friends. A little bit of news. So we've had a rough couple of weeks here, I think, by any measure of the imagination, with errors, compensation. We've had some server lags that led to people not being able to complete their continuum missions, do their fleet boss battles for a while. It looks like we got a little bit of compensation. Well, I'd say a little bit, quite a bit of compensation. I'm personally leaving this gigantic compensation email in my inbox for a few more days here. Just trying to figure out what to do with 10,000 honor, 500 krons, and a whopping 20 valor. Who has spent it immediately upon receipt? Anybody still have this hanging around, or have you all let it go out the window?
I spent it. Lucky enough to be in a fleet where we are cycling through the top four difficulties of bosses, and so I was able to just hit hard boss after hard boss after hard boss. A bunch of people in the fleet pretty much did the same thing, like claimed, and they were like, all right, just keep, we're going to ping all the officers every time new hard needs to come up, and took like a day and a half to use all 20.
Greg, did you reinstall the game to claim your email, or is it?
It's still there sitting, and you know, it's funny because I still sit in the Discord and just bemoan the state of many things, and I like to just bloviate because I think people listen to me, but somebody will come in. And a testament to, well, the game crashes. The game still has a lot of players, and they have to scale servers for events. So that's a great thing, really, if we're finding something to complain about. But new players show up in the Discord and say, hey, how do I do this, or what's this? And I have, no lie, in the last 2 weeks, reinstalled my game three times to take a screenshot for somebody of something. And I, every time, go, why did I do that?
Nifty Mittens, how about you? What are you doing with your tremendous amount of loot?
Long spent. I actually quite enjoy the noting aspect of things, and so I am one of the more common noters in my fleet. Those are well spent on speeding up some bosses.
Yeah, we appreciate you noters out there. Anybody who wants to chip in, there's all kinds of tools. Actually, more coming out every day than I'm finding out about. There are bots, DataCore's got a great tool to help you do nodes now. It's never too late to jump in and learn how to do that. It's a really great way, especially as you transition into the end game, to use some of those lesser used crew. So we have a little bit of a switcheroo. So this past month's premium campaign has, it looks like they were kind of going for a little bit of a theme. They wanted to present Corrupted Badgie and also Gudgy together. But a few of us complained because Corrupted Badgie was actually offered as a campaign reward earlier, so now we have a little bit of a change to Colonel Kieran DeReese. I was happy to see. I'm already in this campaign and purchased all the way up to the super premium level just for Gudgy. But I was also happy to see Colonel Kieran DeReese as a non-portal crew, only released in a pack. Really strong numbers here. Did anybody else here have Colonel Kieran DeReese?
No, I was very happy for this. I like the idea of putting a crew of the quality of Badgie in the campaign, but yeah, as soon as people very correctly pointed out, like, hey, you've literally given him out this way before. I mean, yeah, they messed up. Like, he's a good crew, but you did it this way in the past. So anyone that was willing to pay for it then, is what have you gained here, like, as a company? It is silly, and I think they probably realize, like, oh, damn it, yeah, everyone's right. Why didn't we, check this on ourselves? But hey, the recovery of going to her is awesome. I did not spend on any of her packs back then, and she's good. Like, I'm sometimes tempted by a very good crew for whatever reason, usually stats, but really good art or a character I love. I might splash out, but at the time I didn't. And she's kind of one of those, or she was one of those, ah, oh, man, I really wish I had her though. Well, now I do because this campaign. So I think it was a really good recovery. We can all agree that they shouldn't have put themselves in this position, but they got themselves out of the position quite well. I even appreciate that they let anybody who wishes take Badgie instead, because hey, for some people, maybe they bought it because of him. They didn't get it last time, and they realize he's good, and it's like, ah, oh, maybe this time I'll splurge, or for whatever reason. I'm even glad that they're honoring that. Hey, it's what was advertised. It shouldn't have been, but they did, and they're even letting people pick him, which is cool.
I'm the bus driver that normally is set 3 times a day to run over TPG and its employees, stakeholders, friends, family, neighbors and acquaintances, barbers, what have you. But I have to be the first one to stand in line and give them any kind of attaboy or praise when it's due. And I've got to say, yes, they're human. Yes, they make mistakes. But anytime they make a mistake, even if it takes them a minute to get around to it, they're usually really good with compensation. And they are active in talking to the community and saying, okay, we screwed up. Now, how does it need to be fixed? They listen to the right people. Sometimes there's voices around that say, put this crew in. And it's not a good crew. And you have to say, no, please God, this person just downloaded the game. Do not listen to them. But they give compensation. They work with the customer service team, which has always been fantastic. Like we talked about with the compensation that's in the mailbox, with all the valor and everything else. This could be so much worse. This could be a game company that does not talk, does not give out compensation, tells you to go fly a kite in rain. Hey, this what a problem to have.
And they've made this change before. This isn't the first time that we've had a campaign switcheroo with a little bit of a misstep. I think their response, their official response, is a little bit different with mentioning, and I wish I had a quote here for you, but I think I heard Ben mention that they would be changing it so that they wouldn't use the same crew within a 3-month period, which I thought sounded a little strange. But all the same, at least they've recognized that they can make a little bit of a change. And Corrupted Badgie also is a little unique in that not only was he an event crew that 1,500 people achieved just by playing. Did they even rerun his event? I'm not sure, but I know for certain that with him being retrievable for some time and also being a top flight crew, a lot of people had already just checked him off. So, a good change overall, especially to one that's so hard to get otherwise in Colonel Kira Nerys.
The last thing I'll say for Kira is any Kira is great for continuum missions if you can immortalize her because she's got so many different equipment. So this one's a strong Kira by herself, and she's got really good equipment. So she's a good Voyager. She's good for equipment. She'll end up going in the gauntlet if you use the right equipment for her. If you spend money, this is a great month to spend at least $10.
Yeah, I don't know how I feel about this new and improved big book led by Dangevin where we don't complain. What has happened to you guys? Now, I'll fall in line here. I think it is almost universally an upgrade. Corrupted Badgie has some strengths, but this is an almost 2-year-old card. The Voyage abilities is what's going to jump out. The Sec Med, Command Med, hard to get, but the numbers are waning a little bit. So if you look at the scorecard, tier 5, some chartreuse numbers there, compared to Colonel Kira, who we still have in tier 2, is an upgrade almost everywhere. You mentioned continuum missions. If for some reason you still don't have a diplomacy-led Bajoran, she's going to be a little cheaper to equip there and stronger. Sorry, equip, not equip. Plenty of events, tons of factions over the years, nearly a top 50 collection crew, which is for veteran players almost an auto event for or auto campaign for. So the skill set doesn't really bother me. That med kicker can help in tiebreakers, but considering the gap in power, I think everyone should be happy to see the upgrade here to Colonel Kieran Reese.
Absolutely. I'll just add that, you know, I'm fingers crossed I somehow pick up another copy of her naturally through the course of random beholds. But once this campaign's over and I have my four copies, I'm citing her up to the fifth. Like, she's well worth immortalizing, and she's very valuable in many aspects of the game.
Yeah, notably, she's not in the time portal, so that will not occur. You will need to throw a sight on her.
Sorry. Yes, thank you. No, and I will not pick her. No, thank you for that reminder.
Get her from Dabo. Spend a bunch of dill and get the fifth copy from Dabo or something.
Exactly.
I guess that's a strategy. It is
by definition a strategy. You heard it here first, folks. That is a strategy in this game.
Or you could just wait until the next portal update in about 2 to 3 months and go ahead and get her out of one of our new premium portal packs called the Legends Pack. They were briefly in the portal last week. May make a return appearance. We don't know yet. We don't know a whole lot about this pack other than that it contained three guaranteed beholds. It was a regular 10x pack, and the first was a guaranteed B gold, with the second two being guaranteed purple beholds, and the rest rare crew. There's some schematics as normal, but mostly it was going to be honor apart from those first three. We all got a free copy out of the web store, so on the last podcast we had griped a little bit that they seemed to be leaving behind the weekly free giveaway, but we got it back again with this. So really nice reward for everybody in the game that bothered to enter their user ID over in store.startrektimelines.com. My pack was great. I got to add a star to a gold crew. The purples were honor, but for the most part, hey, free pack. Did anybody buy some additional ones or find some other way to get these open for their roster?
So first off, I want to say that not since 2009's Paul Blart Mall Cop have I heard a better segue. So well done, Dan. and I have a rather deep, complete roster, and I got a great result out of my free pack. That was awesome. I love that, you know, they've introduced this new feature. It's a little bit more expensive. Is it worth it? I think we're going to have some arguments here for that. But they just gave everybody one, which is nice, because no matter who you are, like, who doesn't like opening a pack? It might be a way to, you know, the first hit's free for some players. But yeah, I really like the idea. I'm personally unsure if I'm going to dip into them often, because again, I have a rather deeper, more complete roster. But I think for a lot of players out there, it's, you get that guaranteed gold, and you get a few extra purples, so you know you're getting that extra honor. And if you don't have your super rare roster complete, you know, those type of crew are great for collections, and so you know you're getting a couple of those. So I think it's, I really like this idea, and I'm interested to see how it plays out. And I know they don't publish these, but I'm really curious about their numbers, because I think there's probably been a pretty good reception on this.
Yeah, I feel like this is a little bit of a test for them to drop it for a very brief time and then take it away. I got a real strong feeling we'll see this back again, and hopefully maybe as say potentially a replacement for the regular portal packs. I've been harping on them for a long time that there's just very little value in a regular portal pack. It seems kind of silly. Well, good example right now. We're in a hybrid skirmish galaxy event. The galaxy side of it, historically low participation after a skirmish. Everybody wants to earn their points on the very lucrative skirmish portion. So we'll see. I'm not sure where we're at right now, but you'll be listening to this after the event's long done, and you'll know whether or not we earned our portal pack. But does it matter? I mean, you know, it's just a little bit of honor for most of us. Even newer players getting a random purple may do more harm than good clogging up their inventory with something that they still have to level and get stars on. But these new portal packs, being able to add a gold star to a crew right out the bat is really a nice change and something I'd like to see permanent. If they could use this as an opportunity to fix that devalued portal pack that for the longest time was the gold standard in rewards and now is just kind of a nothing burger. You know, Genos, are you excited about this pack, or is this, you know, just more of what you already have? How are you feeling about this?
I liked pulling the pack. It was a nice little dopamine hit. I feel like I did get a useful legendary. I think it was Beowulf Kim. I know you might not think that's he's very useful, but he's on my crew retrieval list, so useful for me. And then I, just like Nifty, the super rares were honor. But yeah, I like they're trying something new. Depending on where you are in the game, this is more or less valuable to you. I think right now, you know, any legendary behold that I get has like a 15 or 16% chance of being fully fused. So maybe I probably wouldn't spend 1500 dil to grab this, you know, when there's a almost 20% chance of getting 550 honor for the thing that's the best out of it. And honestly, who cares about the super rares? You know, it's nice to have two guaranteed beholds. I think it's a cool thing. And like, kind of like you said, I would like to see it come back and that they're trying something new. I don't know if the price point is ideal, but you know, they have the data to let us know where that stands.
Yeah, Frank, 1500 to lithium, is that worth it?
So for whales, and okay, by whales, I mean, if you have, let's say, 1,300 crew immortalized, something ridiculous like that, which there's a lot of players out there that have that, this is not worth it at all for that price. Now, if they do a few things like, I don't know, go in the premium campaign and the Uber Ultra campaign and replace all the 10x packs that you get with Legends packs, that's good. If you change the reward for continuum missions on the highest difficulty from just a Begold to a Legends pack, that's good. If you take the advice that I gave them in their request for feedback and remove all 3-star ship schematics and make it only 4 or 5-star ship schematics for this price, that's good, because you're trying to think, selling to a player that doesn't have a lot of crew, this is a great way to target 2 purples and a gold, a few green or blues that you get, you know, you sneeze and you find a blue. But if you could make it to where your ship schematics are only like really high value ship schematics, that also solves a common complaint of a lot of players of, hey, I need a ship just to compete in fleet boss battles, or hey, just to do this, I need a 5-star ship. And you say, well, you know, there's no real way to target a ship. This way, maybe you kind of could, but 1500's a hard price to swallow. Now, I will say, now that famously, I've uninstalled the game, but there is someone who I know very dearly that does play this game. I'm not going to out them, but their account is a level 99, but they've only got like, I don't know, 1,000 crew immortalized or something like that. They bought a lot of the offers that include this pack off of the web store or in game, which were a pretty good value. I think it was like $25 for 10 or 15 packs and then 1500 dilithium, something like that. And almost every pull was a fuse, at least for the gold and several of the purples. You don't, again, you don't care about the blues or the ship schematics so much, but for a lot of players in that late middle game to early mid game period, this is like their bread and butter, because this is going to let them fuse up some really old cards that you wouldn't want to target with crew retrieval, that you just leave around for behold insurance. This can let you get those and get them out of your crew and save a roster spot.
Yeah, I think a good way to look at it is, if you know someone wants to spend 650 on a normal pack, that's a guaranteed purple. Well, 650 compared to 1500, that's a little more than double the price, but now you're guaranteeing that gold, that legendary crew. So if you think that that 650 is worth it to you, then oh my God, is this 1500 worth it to you? You listed some of those prices from the web store. The sort of quote unquote good deal going rate for these normal portal packs is about like $1 a pack. The best web store deals, if those are your thing, they come out to like $1 a pack. Well, yeah, the some of those prices you listed were not much more than $1 a pack, but now you're getting that guaranteed gold. So if you're the kind of person that wants to spend a bit of money, wants to gamble a little bit on what you can get, the fact that you can guarantee a gold. Now, not a gold that you need, that there's always that RNG element, of course, that we should stress that. Like the value is so much better than what those normal portal packs are.
And it's early days still. They have a lot to data to go through and kind of march back up to the C-suite people that said, hey, this game needs to make more money. this is why this was born, and figure out what the right targets are. Hopefully they tweak it a bit and keep it around, because I like to see innovation in an 8.5-year-old game. And I appreciate that this is not like a horrific, you know, we keep joking about Ebony in this episode, but games like that or Star Trek Fleet Command just horrifically gouge people. They really do take advantage of compulsory spending, and addiction stuff. And, you know, sure, timelines can be accused of maybe treading into those waters, but price wise, no, nowhere close.
Well, yeah. I mean, let's pump the brakes there, Frank, because we do have loot crates. And we do have $100 weekly offers that allow you to buy whatever you missed the last week. And that's not cheap. And I know some games really blow that out of the water, but $100 out of my wallet is just a lot to consider for a little bit of a graphic in a game. So I want to talk a little bit before we get to a far off track here. The amount of golds that we're getting lately feels like it's increasing. So one of the things that the developers have said is that they want to always have a month-long objective event running, and recently those have been giveaways. So we've got Raynor currently, Harry Mudd prior month, so two in a row. In addition, now the top drop from our continuum missions is a Begold. We have Begold showing up as a guaranteed in packs. So I want to ask the group here, is for many of our endgame rosters, we need the collections. We need as many gold stars as we can. What about the beginning and maybe mid-game player who's already choking on purples? And what does an influx of these gold packs, some of them being forced, if you're playing the objective events that force you to open your gold pack as soon as you've earned it, you don't have the option of even just keeping it in your honor store. You know, is this just clogging up rosters with... And so the other part of the question is are these old cards really useful enough? We've gotten some renewed use on certain cards, the gold Lieutenant Dinner and Laborer Spock, and some very old cards that just aren't voyaging for anybody. But now we've got the ability to equip them and get a little more use out of them. Some Fleet Boss Battle node usage, but again, that's more of an endgame concern. Is it worth these new players to get all these golds, and what is it really doing to them? Any considerations here?
Yeah, I would hope that the newer players that are, you know, consistently and habitually in a scenario of a slot crisis would ask their fleet, would consult resources like DataCore or the Big Book or the Cap Tools, and determine that some of these golds are not worth keeping and would potentially airlock them for the honor, or, you know, be a little bit more cutthroat even with their super rare crew, and, you know, still be able to get through without having all these crew in overflow. That's what my hope is. But, you know, the player that maybe isn't plugged in with their fleet, maybe they're using in-game chat or UC, or, you know, they haven't found the Big Book yet. They haven't come to the light, as it said. Maybe they're having problems, and maybe they are spending their dill on, you know, 3,000 slot, you know, five slots instead of 1,500. So that's my thought. Maybe they're floundering in the dark.
Nifty.
Yeah. That excellent point, to which I agree. But I would add at least that generally when these giveaways do happen, you're getting multiple copies, and so when you get these multiple copies, that's going to elevate even a mediocre legendary crew into still better than some of your really shitty purples. And I know how painful it is to have to feel like, oh, shoot, like I just got that character 1 out of 4. Now I'm deleting them. I deleted them 4 months ago. Like, I hate repeating this cycle. It is annoying. I've been there. And, you know, you start setting rules for yourself about what, you know, you delete crew of a certain tier or with only a certain number of collections, whatever, you know, find what rules work for you. But the crew that you're being given, they're basically always going to be better than the crew you currently have on your roster, the low end of your roster. So it is tough. It sucks to delete crew. You know, so please, anyone listening, you know, seek out advice from other players, whoever's opinion you value, you know, your fleet's the various resources, somebody on Discord, maybe multiple people on Discord. Don't just ask one person. just, you know, and hey, whatever your criteria are, works for you. You know, keep the ones with the best art, delete the ones with the worst art from the show you don't like. You do you. But yeah, the stat wise, the game is giving you some really amazing crew lately. And I can't complain if I have to make a tough choice, because I've just been given some really awesome crew 4 out of 5 for free. Well, for
free. Does
this
mean I can delete all my animated crew if I don't like lower decks? I can just delete them while I'm flexing?
When is all this cartoon stuff over, right?
So
maybe I just want to jump in.
Yeah, I've always been adamant about this, and I think it is the right way to play, despite, you know, they say, oh, there's no right way. Well, there kind of is. If you're not making the best long-term choices, then it really doesn't matter what you're doing. Play however you want, pick the crew you want. But then if you're still playing 3 years later, don't complain, oh, I picked a really crummy crew. Well, you know, it gave you joy at the time, so don't worry about that. For me, the quote-unquote right way to play, the crew slots have one purpose. They're to slot your crew into, and if you're not using them for your legendary crew, then what's the point? Purple are always going to be easier to get back later. They're always going to be weaker than fused and equivalent fused gold. So that is the, you know, pardon the pun, gold standard. So even if they're old, try to hold on to those golds as much as you can. It's okay to dump a 2/4 purple. And, you know, it's okay to dump a 1/5 gold too. But if you're looking long term, it takes time to stack up those stars, even if they're adding more and more to the game. So that is, in my opinion, the quote unquote best way to play. And it is kind of annoying because it doesn't yield short-term results. You may have to hold on to those crew for years before you're in a position to fuse them up and benefit from either events or collections. But if you're not playing long-term, then it doesn't really matter how you play. You just want to play whatever gives you joy in the short term.
Yep. Every purple I begrudgingly deleted in the past has come back to me eventually.
We got some new crew to talk about. Let's actually, a great way to start is, we had discussed a bit of a preview on Projector Spock a few weeks ago, but now we have him. In fact, many of us have earned 2 copies of him, and Projector Spock seems pretty useful. He's actually really done very well in my skirmish as our 4th person on the ship, generating full bonus as well as a nice little hammer at 8 seconds. So I guess the question is, he's certainly usable, debuting at a tier 3 Voyager number 38. Some great collections here. I've got 5 collections out of the box. Is Projector Spock one of those cards that we just throw the star on at the beginning of the Mega, ride our way through, get the extra bonus on our galaxy makes, on our faction shuttles? Maybe if you're leading a squadron and you're sharing, having that little bit of an extra buff to give to your teammates. Or is this Mega proven to be strong enough so far that maybe we should save that star and dig into recap packs a little bit? And what's your Projector Spock strategy? Nifty.
Okay, for people that can't see our feed, he's pointing at me to speak. I will say, I haven't cited him yet, but that's mostly because I don't... The value of that early citation hasn't happened yet. In the skirmish, I don't need a cite on Spock. So right now I'm just like the tail end of this current hybrid event. He would be better if I gave him a star in this galaxy half, but I skirmished enough where it doesn't matter. And so I'm personally not focusing on this event. So I don't need to add that star, but yeah, I'm usually a fan. If you don't want to start spending on the, recap packs. I'm usually a fan of citing the recurring crew, because unless they're really garbage, you know, a 5 out of 5 crew is pretty great. They're going to help you for a few weeks, hopefully, in the event. So I need to dig deeper into, like you said, this is actually a pretty deep and high value, high quality event in terms of which crew get bonus. So I do need to take a closer look at how much benefit an extra star on him may give me in the next few weeks. Or, yeah, maybe I do do a few recap packs. When I used to do a lot more recaps, my goal was always, you know, hey, can I pick up that 5th star on the recurring And any other golds that I picked up along the way were just awesome and bonus. But then I'd stop when I hit that fifth star on the recurring. And I think that's a really great strategy. Again, just my play style, my roster, I've shifted away from that. But I think that's a pretty good strategy for people who have the Dahlia Theme to spend however they acquire it. I think it's a this is a kind of crew that he's good. But yeah, it's do you need that fifth star yet? Can you wait a bit? Do you want to splash into the packs? I think that's a really good question, and the answer is going to be different for different people. So I've been very not helpful in this response.
Well, let's take a look though. Let's look at the soup to nuts. So how have our mega golds looked so far? We have Renegade Locarno, I believe tier 4. The current one that we're competing for with the Skirmish Galaxy is Orion Hurricane Ortegas tier 5. This mega set isn't really shaping up to be looking too strong for me. Anybody have some current or future impressions about whether they're even going to buy into these, or is this just another forget it cartoon mega?
I mean, I'm enjoying grab. I've grabbed two copies of Locarno. I'll grab two copies of Ortegas just for collateral acquisition as a result of there being a skirmish portion of this event. I might skip Boimler. I don't remember if he's any good. He might be. And then I think with the last one, Boimler's Frank is furiously shouting non-verbally that he's bad. So I might skip that.
However, the women in the scene that he is from highly disagree with you, Frank. They think he is very desirable.
Oh, right. The Vineyard? Yeah, Vineyard Boimler, right? And then
I believe it's Vineyard, but, you know.
Vineyard, Vineyard. Okay, whatever. Yeah, I mean, they're okay. To the point where I'll splash in the recaps, and if I end up with a copy of Ortegas or Boimler or Locarno, I won't be sad about it. I'm a recap splasher, and to go back to our prior point, I am not a citer of the recurring legendary day one. I want to keep my recaps viable.
So I don't have too much to say about. The recap packs. I already told you the proper way to strategize, and deviation from that course will not be tolerated. But I have a lot to say about Projector Spock, and you people are going to listen. I love this card. First of all, if on the crew page, if you go ahead and click the tier, it says tier 3. It'll jump to the overall page. And what you may not know is those crew are sorted within the tier. The closer to the tier above, the better they are. So this is the very first crew in tier 3. If he was tier 2 at the bottom, that really wouldn't make a difference. The points are very close. He's essentially a tier 2 card. And if I look at another tier 2 card who we already talked about, Colonel Kirinaris, he's better in collections, he's better in events. And the little gap in Voyage, he's not a later loser Voyager, but that engineering secondary does a lot of work. If you look at the other crew in his skill set for Voyages, he's number 2 in the top 150 for antimatter seeding. And those great traits, of course, give him 5 collections right off the bat. Number 1 command and number 1 event eng for Spock events. So that's going to help you for years and years. Every year, but 2016, he's had at least 4 events. So very consistent there. You talked about in the skirmish, he has instant damage, which, isn't necessarily great for vets, but if you're a new player, even getting one copy will help there. So a fantastic all-around crew. I'd rather have command than diplomacy on shuttles. The list goes on and on why I love this card. So even if you end up getting, extra copies and recaps and you start them up early on, that great event work, I could definitely see a lot of rosters using maybe an extra copy of a 2-5 or a 3-5 Projector Spock on the requisition shuttles. So I'm notoriously hard on citing Mega Crew for my own roster as an endgame player, but I would definitely cite Projector Spock early on. Use him, no regrets.
To add to that, he is, healthfully... He's the top command and eng Spock out there. So to emphasize Otto's point about that event use, he's going to be your strong Spock in those stats.
And for your discerning opinion, let me be the voice of reason to all of you who are on the fence to tell you why you should airlock all 4 copies that you get. And in fact, when you get a copy, make sure you do it when your double your crew pop-up is available. So you can pay $25, get another copy, and airlock that one too. This is one of the few Spocks that is, although good on traits, missing a lot of Spock-centric traits. So if you try and take this Spock through continuum missions, he doesn't get all the unique equipment that other Spocks do. Doesn't have astrophysicists, doesn't have a few other things. So he won't be as good a Spock as some other Spocks can be, which means his value is just gone. Sell the house, burn it down. No, no, no.
So you sound an awful lot like Sarek, whereas Otto and I are trying to be a lot more like Amanda here. We're trying to talk Spock up.
I am not buying the recaps for this mega. I am playing the events, and I'll certainly have some stars, but I'll be happy to let them sit while I wait for all these cards to enter the portal. Speaking of one of the cards that we're earning this week, or by the time you're listening to this, the card that we have hopefully earned is Orion Hurricane Ortegas. When she was first spoiled, she was spoiled as a kind of a lowly tier 5, but it turns out I think she was missing a key trait. Maybe it was animated. A few of these crew were missing that. Now showing as tier 4, still Voyager number 69. Nice.
Nice.
And yeah,
you can't yourself, Dan. You've got to let one of the other guys do it.
Yeah, all right.
I was eating and muted, but nice.
Look, as far as Ortegas goes, just crummy variants down the line. We've talked before on this podcast about off-duty and Kalar Ortegas. Off-duty's gauntlet ability is kind of the only thing that stands out across all those variants. So this, you know, automatically is going to be an upgrade. But even still, tier 4 or 5, she's right on the borderline there. But a plus skill set for voyages, but not great power. Same goes for shuttles. I mean, top 25 dip may as well be top 5. You're within a few points there. So eminently usable if you're a fan of her or the episode, you can use her. But, you know, personally, unless I get several copies from recaps and events combined, she's just going to have to sit partially fused on my roster. I'm not seeing top shelf value here.
Yeah, kind of a nothing burger for all of us skirmishers. Taking a look at some of her relative stats as a Voyager, she matches her skill pair with Kashyyyk.
Cash money.
Cash Douglas. Pronounced Douglas. I don't know.
That guy, roughly 200 points behind in overall voyage power in her triplet compared to the premium Mira Tuvok, 336 points behind. And everybody's favorite carrier of the Orb of Prophecy and Change, Sisko the Emissary, little over 100 points behind him as well. So even in the portal right now, a better Voyager, more useful continuum mission runner, Ortegas is kind of your zonk, your booby prize for having played as much skirmish as you could this weekend. A serviceable crew, but will be paling in comparison to all new printings very soon.
You know, I've got to say, for lower spending players or ones who are a little more choosy, in that skill set for Voyage, you also have Jiran Sisko, 2024 Picard, Pascal Fullerton. So a lot of previous mega event rewards. And if you want to pivot toward a more versatile crew, Leela Kira with that top 10 collection value, you know, I would take a few points off my Voyages if I get that great collection value too. So she's kind of a mix of all of them, but better than none of them, I would say. I wouldn't worry about missing her. You probably already have that skill set on your roster. And if you don't, you could certainly retrieve or go to the faction store for better value.
Now, if we travel to the future in our DeLoreans in 1 year, when they finally have implemented the bartender collection, now she's got value because there's only 16 bartenders in the game. And this collection probably will stop at 10. And so buy your bartender Polestar now so it's cheaper than in a year, I guess.
I swear, if we get bartender before we get hologram, I will riot.
I'll drink to that. We are also getting 4 free copies of Orion Hurricane Pike, and along with that, 3 free full stat collections. Ticks on them anyways. I don't know if this crew is really usable elsewhere, but at least it's interesting that we get somebody else to finish and freeze. And with that med tertiary for very new accounts, he may see some voyage power. Anything else outstanding about Orion Hurricane Pike here?
I think the event value kind of jumps out to me. 5 events this year, 5 in 2022, and between that a Baker's Dozen in 2023. So you pair that with a top 10 command base, Pike himself will get events. I think I could definitely see this crew's thaw down the line, especially for early and mid-game rosters.
A quick touch on last week's six-pack crew, Orion, Hurricane, Uhura, a Dipsy Command crew, debuting at Tier 3, Voyager number 29 with four collections. Sounds pretty strong, although some interesting things when we look at the Voyage a little bit deeper. Anybody have any comments on Orion, Hurricane, Uhura?
Dip, command, anything. Command, dip, anything. I mean, throw Psi, throw Eng, whatever. It's going to end up with a unholy amount. It's going to be like you went grocery shopping and there's only one checkout lane open and the line is backed up all the way to the meat counter and you're all just standing there. Everybody's all the same. If you mix around her triplet skills, she's behind two crew that have been there forever in inspiring Captain Burnham and Lieutenant Commander Spock and Pathfinder Uhura. So, you know, and vaccination Loxana Troi, who we got from a mega event a couple of months ago. So she's not setting the world on fire, but she's got really strong power, which is why her Voyage rank is so high. If you don't have all of those crew, she will do good for you in Voyage, but, you know, she's only got so many trait bonuses that those crew all have as well.
Yeah. You know, I got to correct myself here. A couple interesting things have happened. So she also was missing initially the animated collection when we first wrote these notes here. And so that puts her up to five collections. And with animated's most recent threshold being added, that gives actually a pretty strong boost, stat boost. She's actually gone up quite a bit. She's showing on the big book as tier two, right kind of in the middle of the pack as far as tier two crew go. That surprises me. Yeah, I mean, for all the reasons we've cited, this doesn't seem that strong, but we're seeing a really high event representation, number 50 overall for Uhura variants. Her ship ability is ranked at number 43 as well. Reasonable accuracy bonus of +9 when fully fused, 8-second initiation, but a really strong base crit bonus of 15,000. But also with the time delay, if you let it sit there for up to 6 seconds, you can get up to a 20k crit bonus boost. I don't really use the time delays often. I tend to let just kind of the automation of my ship battles carry that. Has anybody else here played a little bit with the time delays, or is that enough of a benefit to put her above any other accuracy boosting crit bonus crew on your roster?
Wait a second. Do we have notes for this show?
Some days.
This is a show?
You guys aren't a figment of my imagination. I'm not talking to myself in my room right now. Are you sure?
This is a fever dream.
So I'll fold in some previous crew that we talked about. I think straight up, I would probably take Projector Spock because I put a lot of value in that engineering secondary, but they're kind of all fairly similar. Part of the reason why she's tier two, a big reason is if you look at the scorecard, every attribute except Gauntlet is top 100. And that kind of breadth of utility is very nice to have. And yes, the skill set is redundant, but power can win out on Voyages. So she has enough traits for collections and antimatter. Event count isn't what I'd like to see in a crew that I'm going to be investing off the bat. But, you know, as a pack crew, I also think that this is somewhat skippable because of all those downsides. So I'm fine with this crew. You know, if you want to spend to get a higher tier, a more premium crew, that's fine. But she's also skippable. This isn't like a Gary Seven situation where you have to have her in a competitive area like Gauntlet or you miss out. So I think whether you get it or not, you can be happy with that choice.
You mentioned Gauntlet and Gary, right? Did you mean Gary Mitchell? Because he was intended for Gauntlet.
Well, he was built
Mitchell,
for
watch,
it.
Watch, watch, yeah, watch. I think down the line, now that I've taken a second look at Orion Hurricane Uhura, I think she'll be on my future retrieve list. She's got a lot going for her. Taking a look at the Uhura variants also, she's got kind of a unique skill pair here. I think she brings something to the roster, so worth looking at in the future. So for those of us looking to continue their journey through the Mega, we have a new gold that we can compete for in Vineyard or Vineyard Boimler.
I look at this crew and I'm sort of thinking again, his name keeps popping up, Projector Spock, same skill set. And even with the Eng primary, I'm still going to take Spock over Boimler, you know, head to head. And I don't really love this thing that they do where they make two crews similar, but one's so much better. And that kind of kills the competition in me to want to go after a crew like this. So, you know, if you're looking for positives, I can't sell them too hard to you. Edgemas is going to be a better voyager. Hundreds of crew are going to be better for collections and events and shipping gauntlets. So I think he really earns this tier 6 rating. Probably the best use case is going to be if you are a newer or mid-game player and stars are harder for you to come by, maybe the competition's a little less because of that. But outside of that, if you're an established player or a new player looking to pick your spots, this is not the spot that I would pick.
Yeah, a faction Galaxy Hybrid is asking a lot of a new player to even get into the top 1500 territory. You're going to be competing against people with real deep rosters in the faction phase and people who have pre-farmed in the Galaxy phase. A tough way to enter. We have seen some Eng primary crew hit recently, though. It looks like since we've been putting so much focus on the less loved skills, we've gotten rewarded by quite a few Eng characters. Concern Janeway, Sydney LaForge that we received. So, you know, I think most of our newer players are already doing pretty good. And in fact, even very close, if not already achieved a fully fused on an Eng primary character to run through continuum missions. So Vineyard Boimler seems like a crew with no real home. Is there any other lingering value in the fleet boss battle skill set? Just give me something. Ship battles. And does this guy do anything right?
He's got some cool art. If you love Lower Decks and you love Boimler, it's not nothing. But that's kind of what's going to be a driving thing for people. Either it's going to drive them away or it's going to drive them towards him.
Yeah, if you love dirty crew with no props and that are just standing face forward, Vineyard Boimler is your guy.
You know, it's kind of funny. I'm looking at his variants, and I see Excretus of Borg, which is hilarious and a great episode. Cowpoy Boimler, the Kazon fanboy Boimler, and the great art of Phase Boimler. I feel like they just kind of flipped the purples and the golds. I would have rather see all those crew usable on my rosters, golds, and the mirror Boimler kind of boring. We've seen a lot of Eevee suit animated crew, maybe put him purple instead. So, you know, at least he's finally getting gold variants, which is nice. That wasn't the case for the first year or so, but I kind of wish they would have flip-flopped that.
And good news for those of you who either will be missing Vineyard Boimler or who will simply opt out, you can just pick up Data as Misaka, who outperforms him on 4 of 6 Voyage seats. And not that we're recommending that, but yeah, that just to point out, with as much hate as we gave Data as Misaka when he came out a few months ago, this is strictly, in almost all cases, a worse crew. So take from that as you will.
Now, here's an interesting head-scratcher for you at home, the listener. Schrodinger's Boimler, we know, coming up soon is the Player's Choice Mega and Month and giveaway and everything, and they've already said that the winner was real-life Boimler from the Strange New Worlds episode, Those Old Scientists. We've already gotten Mariner in a six-pack, but we're getting the Boimler counterpart. He's not animated. So for people that hate animated, will they get that Boimler? Or will they skip him?
Excellent point.
We'll have to ask the folks that are anti-animated if they are going to grab the true-to-life Jack Quaid's or not.
I mean, tribalism aside, go watch Those Old Scientists, that episode, and tell me that it isn't beautiful, beautiful Star Trek, written so well, hilarious, great acting. So I'm definitely looking forward to that card.
It brought us pretty much this entire mega, with the exception of a few of the crew, like Mesk.
Yeah, in the same event. Hopefully, if we hit our community goals again, getting 4 copies of this character. Sec Command Psi Purple, pretty viable Voyager for Nightmare Folk. But apart from that, what else do we have to say about Mesk, our new Orion Purple?
Ooh. So, always nice to get a low rarity Orion, because it saves you from having to, sorry, Otto, immortalize one of the Bound Girls, or like an Orion Vina, or, you know, even someone like Tendi and the Dog, even though they are good collection crew. But it also means that you can now hit the 5 threshold on the Alluring Pheromones collection, I think that's what it's called, with crew that are super rare or below. So that's nice for the early game player. He exists, he will be frozen shortly, and I don't really remember who this character is.
He's cosplaying Orion. He's like the warp for Klingons. He's just so into, I'm Orion and I should be a pirate, but ha ha ha, LOL guys, don't we have this, you know, fun thing? And then he turns out he's actually not like that at all.
I do like his half mullet too. That really adds to the package. My mindset may be stuck yet in 2018, but when I see a plus 10 attack on a purple crew, that makes me notice. Especially for newer players, it can be very hard to fuse a legendary crew early on. But a position trigger is fairly easy to get to. The purple ship that everyone loves, the Borg Sphere, does have that trigger ability, and 10 seconds is a decent duration. So if you can get a purple ship with a position trigger, fuse him up, he has an event crew, and put him on it, that can really carry your damage through the early game and let you focus your retrievals elsewhere.
Comparable to the best in slot Yung T'Pau, who are many collectors may not have even found yet in their various packs. She beats him only on an overall cycle with a 16-second cycle versus Mesk's 20-second total cycle. But certainly playable at all levels as you're growing your roster, and works well with the USS Constellation you get for free from playing fleet boss battles through the first 20 bridge levels. That's pretty much all the crew we have for you that are known right now. So before we get into spoiler territory, let's talk about how's your game. I'll lead off a little bit here. I've been playing a little bit less. Life has gotten a little crazy, but that's the beauty of Star Trek Timelines, is you can take it or leave it. Some people may feel that fear of missing out when good crew come and go, and I'm okay putting in a little bit of time on the weekends to get my Projector Spot copy, of course, and just take a look, see what's happening, collect my free legend pack. But, you know, I'm okay to kind of let the game play itself for a little bit, knowing it'll be there. I guess the one thing will certainly bring me back is this coming Tuesday, we've got another Critical Chronotons event, so I'm looking forward to pre-farming up a few more away team exclusive inventory items here. My roster is at the point now where I feel like I'm pretty good on my Continuum Mission Runners and my Voyagers, so I'm mainly focused on collections. One crew that's came kind of from the past and jumped out at me is a crew from 2020, Keyless, who jumped to the top of my retrieve stack because he happens to have the writer trait, which I need one more copy of to hit a new threshold, but also just received a new collection for the Maverick trait as well. Brings up to 5 total, pretty strong collection showing there, and I was already at 2 stars for him. So once I'm done with him, moving on to some other collection crew, Second Chance Gray, and of course the Fonz himself, Torchbearer Rejack, with his monster 6 stat boosted collections. So a little bit of fun for me kind of filling out those collections. I like this part of the game where I just get to, you know, get everything organized and get those stars on and maybe freeze some lesser used crew. It takes a little bit longer at this point, but I really love crew retrieval for that purpose. I just get to target something that otherwise would just take a ridiculous amount of time to ever even pray to drop randomly out of packs and beholds, and just finish them off and get my roster in order. Frank, for the time that you do have the game installed, what kind of things are you finding fun lately?
Absolutely, all the animated crew. It's, you know, the account that I would actually play if I had the game installed is still immortalizing crew, is still finishing out collections, is still very much trying to catch up because it was neglected for so many years. And I like finding a collection and chipping away with it and just making a plan. Captain Idle, rest in peace, taught me how to use spreadsheets. He went to the British place in the sky with tea. But he taught me, if you take spreadsheets and you put all these collections in them and you make them very convoluted, then you can go on various discords and say, hey, Captain Idle has a new spreadsheet. And then I use them and it tells me what crew I need to go after. And it's fun and it's appealing and it makes me, you know, feel accomplished when I can get a plan together and go knock out, you know, whatever it is, however many retrievals and getting certain crew leveled and immortalized and getting a collection knocked out, another milestone where it's just completely done, and getting the bonuses from that. It feels like an actual accomplishment and an advancement in the game where I'm making progress and I'm not just sitting high atop the mountain at my throne on my altar looking down at all the peasants.
Nifty. How's your game?
Good. I've also been playing a little less lately, not, you know, from a, not as a statement on the game, more just a statement on, yeah, the busyness of life. But it is nice when we have things like Omega going on where you can still pop in, grab that Mega crew. It's always fun, especially when, as we've discussed already, it's a pretty decent crew in his own right. Yeah, I've been filling out my Captain Idle sheets as well, tracking my voyages, letting them run too long, classic me. But, you know, got to get those stats logged. I'm looking forward to some of the upcoming crew. I happen to enjoy animated crew, that whether they be from those old scientists or from Lower Decks. So it's a good time in the game. Interested in seeing what comes of these new portal packs that we discussed earlier.
Yeah, we've name-dropped Captain Idle a couple of times already. This is it, brother. I'm calling you out. We're going to have you on to describe these spreadsheets on another Big Book podcast. Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah, brother.
Yeah, so I've taken up a new long-term game goal, and I'm actually going after those Continuum achievements. So I'm just grabbing my... Yes, I know. I'm grabbing my crew. I've been going from the lowest combined in a stat, and I'm just running them through the missions, and I'm getting them 4 out of 4, and then I throw them on voyages until their equipment runs out, and then I freeze them. I've been doing that with super rares, like the, you know, the either existing or new super rares, and just getting rid of them. So that's fun for me, and I'm down to 140,000 krons, so I'm chipping away at getting that down to zero. And then my crunchy krons, I recently actually finished Kallus, I think would have been the name.
Kallus.
Is it Kallus? Yep. I haven't watched Voyager in a while. Thank you, Otto. Yeah, I recently super fan. Finished it. Yes. I recently finished him, just like Dan. My next two retrievals from Crunchy Krons are going on 7 in Command and Sword, who is another animated crew from TAS from long ago.
My man, Sword. Skirmish mainstay.
I'll take S words for 400, Alex.
George for 400. Yeah. It began with a bloody S.
That's not what your mother said, Trebek. I'll represent for all the lapsed fans, because I haven't played for a while. But, you know, it's good for the soul to take breaks. And you really haven't missed much. What they said about us drowning in golds, you know, that will continue. The churn will continue. So if you missed a crew here and there, don't worry about it. You do have retrieval to back that up, too. So if you have a beautiful, this is probably too early to segue, but if you have a beautiful Guy Fleegman face like Lieutenant Sam Kirk to return to, maybe that's what draws you in. Maybe they release one of your favorite crew to pull you back in. So don't worry about fear of missing out. There's nothing you can't get at a later date.
Lieutenant Sam Kirk coming soon to a Tuesday pack near you.
Yeah. Well, we can transition. So yeah, Lieutenant Sam Kirk will be your pack chase card in the next upcoming week. Here we have kind of a home hub skill set, a Psi Sec Dip, one collection, just a single collection, but among all purples, Voyager number 8. So packing a serious amount of power in that Psi. One thing I've been keeping an eye on here is whether these purples are getting strong enough that they can actually have a prayer of clearing the second or even the first a tier of continuum missions. From what I can see, some of the crew in the dip in the command sector might have enough power if you hit everything just right and have enough collections behind it. But it's just really tough. I'm trying desperately to find a way for newer players to even be able to earn that first little bit of quantum boost without having to have a fully fused gold card just to be able to force through. Is this even possible yet? Anybody playing a nightmare account that's been able to actually achieve that yet?
Yeah, I run through all the way to epic every week with just super rares. You have to get some unique equipment sometimes. Like I use crew that you wouldn't expect, like Tsunkatse 7 with the athlete and prisoner. And who else was I using? Mokbara Sito was also real strong. So if you can find two unique equipment, that's good. I'm even using both of the binars, one for science and one for engineering, because their unique equipment hits both. And then you can throw the other two legendary ones on there, and the green one, and then you can, they're over 3,000.
So how do you break into that? I'm curious. Like, how would you earn your first qubits in order to be able to even equip them in the first time?
Yeah, you can get through at least the first handful of missions, even, you know, with 4 out of 4 immortalized purple. You might need a real, and thankfully at this point, in the game with power creep, they've thrown enough collections and they've thrown enough strong purples out there that you can collect them from events, you can collect them from campaigns, and you can have a stable of six that can at least get you through normal pretty easily. And maybe all you do is normal for a few weeks, and then you get enough qubits and you can start hitting epic or elite and then epic. So it took me some time to get through even normal, just collecting the qubits, but I got there.
That's fantastic. So is a card like Lieutenant Sam Kirk shiny and new? Is this card necessary? I heard you name a bunch of older crew here. I mean, Binars, aren't they release crew? These crew have been in the game for quite some time.
Yeah, so Kirk, that strong base that he's already got, I think with all the collections, let's see, unboosted, he's almost at 1,000 unboosted. Decent proficiency. The only thing that would hurt for him is not having a fourth equipment that you can throw in his primary, because I think for science, you need things like astrophysicist is a super rare equipment that you can throw on him. So he might have issues getting through epic. You probably need a Vulcan or a Trill for that, or at least someone who has astrophysicist. At least we'll do it. But
sometimes the oldies are goodies. I don't know if there's a whole lot of value here for me to dig in, unless I was a completionist. If you're a mustache aficionado, there he is.
I would say the poison pill here is that he's in a pack. And so if you're at the position, your roster, where you're still struggling getting purples to pull you through continue missions, there's got to be better uses for your dilithium than a purple with one collection, 10 events over the course of 8 years. You may go 2-3 years stretch without using him in a single faction, even though he has that great base. So continue missions and voyages are one thing, but if you're paying that much dilithium to get him fully fused, there's going to be better options out there. So, it's hard for the big book to rate things like where they come from, pack versus event versus recurring mega. Those all play differently on different rosters. So this is not a crew I would recommend going after, despite some of those sterling metrics.
And those metrics would even wash out in the long run, because everybody hits the portal eventually that came out in packs and events. So they're all going to be equal within about a year.
And if you're on the fence and you're thinking, oh, well, maybe the golds in the pack will be really good and really new, and that'll at least maybe be worth it if I whiff and get a gold, when that would ever happen. Professor Data, who is good, but he's, you can get him easily and retrievable. Mestral, who, again, good, but you've got probably better, or just retrieve him. And then Kenneth EMH, there's nothing earth-shattering here.
I am old enough to remember Professor Data was like Voyage rank 260 before he was released. And then when they decided to put him in a pack instead of an event, they made him like Voyage number 5. So at the end of the day, it is still a business.
He was an art issue, I think. They couldn't get his art approved. Well done.
Roasted.
I actually saw, I saw, that's who I was visiting actually on my vacation. Aforementioned.
I hope her art is lovely. I apologize.
She's not very artistic.
Frank, your heart sucks and you crush your wife during sex. Boom, roasted.
Otto, your mom is commanded, Psy.
oh, don't you go there.
Not cool, bro. Not cool.
You just crossed the line, Dan. You're off the show.
Your mom can't be 100% retrieved.
Your mom has no collection value.
Your mom was released in a mixed behold.
All right, I think we this has got legs, but let's shelve it until we all have a chance to prepare our most devastating burns.
That's our segment for next week. I think we just figured it out.
We'll call it the burn. It's the 31st century, 32nd century, the burn.
Spoilers.
It'll be just in time for Mother's Day, too. I mean, it would talk about just on topic.
It writes itself. So looking into my crystal ball yet deeper, we have our gold and our purple for the final mega event. It will be a full faction, and we will be playing for Heroic Captain Shaw, or AKA Heroic Shaw. as the gold with a purple kicker. You'll receive 3 of 4 copies on Prince Billups. Let's look first at our gold. Heroic Shaw is Sec Command Dip, leading off with a boosted primary score, Sec of just under 2,000. Pretty strong. I think he will debut, it looks here, at Voyage number 34. A few comparables, but nothing recent. I'm seeing a similar crew as Fencing Picard, who at this point is pushing 3 years old. Rogue Jack Crusher came out recently, but was a pack release, still not in the portal. And everybody's favorite Capellan, Mab. Heroic Shaw, what's in this crew? Anything interesting that we're looking at here?
I will say, because I've said it before, for those of you that are attracted by his security base, unboosted, you can count on both hands, assuming you are the average human being that has 10 fingers, the amount of points that separate number 1 through like number 22, 24, 25, I don't know. The top set crew are all interchangeable within a few points. So if that's the only thing drawing you to him, just, you know, stop yourself, maybe take a look at your roster, see where your other security base crew are before you jump into him just because he's got that beefy big base, because so does a lot of other security crew.
Shaw was like the darling new character from Picard season 3, so, and you know, they didn't really do him justice with the initial like bland Shaw that we got as a super rare some time ago. The reason that there aren't any similar crew that are recent is because we successfully shamed them into not releasing Command Dip Sec crew. Just hammer them and hammer them and hammer them, and finally if we finally get them, like, oh cool, this is like a new triplet, I haven't seen this one in a while. But yeah, I mean, he's a crew that I think a lot of people are going to want, and people are going to have a deep bench by the time this faction event rolls around. And you know, I might just go ahead and throw all my tokens at it and get myself 4 copies of this Shaw. And he's unfortunately got a few untapped traits. So only just the 1 collection, I think, right now, which is Communicator. Hopefully we get something like Hero or Duelist or Marksman in the future. But for right now, it's, largely unwatered seeds in a garden. That's right, brought it back to the gardener trait.
It's actually Botanist.
I'm disappointed, frankly, because Todd Stashwick, you know, he runs D&D streams with other Trek alum, including Jerry Ryan, huge Trek nerd, a great guy in every interview I've seen, and Captain Liam Shaw, for me, was probably the highlight of season 3 of Picard. So, awesome crew. He does a lot of engineering work and gushes over Geordi LaForge in that season. So the fact that they give him diplomacy instead of eng, you know, it's what you've come to expect from people who barely watch the show. But between that, the Voyage Power, you shout out at mid-30 sounds okay, but he's only barely in the top 10 for that skill set. And with such a crowded primary base too, 1 collection, it's like it's kind of the greatest hits of the worst hits is what he's all hitting here. So we all miss that Frankian deep voice, that beautiful baritone, and just iconic to season 3. And so the fact that this is his introduction, I'm sure we'll get a generic version at some point, but they've got to do better than this if they want to get their player base excited.
We do have a generic version.
Oh, we do? Well, yeah, I haven't played in like 6 months, so that makes it even worse.
He's just a 4-star. It's just sitting at dinner, no Shaw, and this is the, spoilers, very heroic, dying Shaw.
So there's still an opportunity for Grease Monkey Shaw, and we'll get that engineering, or what was it, it's an asshole from Chicago Shaw.
That's right.
We can get engineering there.
So a couple of noteworthy things about this Shaw. So we dropped the name Fencing Picard, former number 1 Voyager Fencing Picard, when they were releasing a new number 1 Voyager in Command Dip Sec every month or so for a short period of time, who has slipped precipitously since his debut, Fencing Picard has, and so will Heroic Shaw in time. Nothing pinning him to the top of the roster at all. Man, what a disappointing card. Yeah, this is the seminal moment. This was Shaw's, you know, big resolution. And it's just, this card is going to fall flat, unfortunately. Can we redeem with the purple Prince Billups, the 3 stars out of 4? I see a dip primary with an inch secondary, which is interesting, and some security to follow up. We have royalty, communicator, some interesting traits here, but not a whole lot's really lately traded crew. What are people's thoughts on this Prince Billups? Is this worth putting the extra star on, is the question.
Low rarity on a niche collection like royalty. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, I would say maybe as a tiebreaker, if you're looking at airlock and crew and you have something like a Ferengi or a Romulan, those smaller collections, I'd maybe hang on to Billups instead, because Communicator is a very large collection and some of those higher milestones have base and proficiency rewards. So they're a little bit juicier carrot on the end of that stick. So, you know, that being really his only great trait, royalty is a collection will help you out there. But Communicator and Cultural Figure, Resourceful are some of the big ones that stand out to me. If I can get that on purple, I'm more likely to hang on to them if I can.
This is the kind of crew that usually sits around for me. This is also an argument for maybe pulling just a few limited recap packs to see if you can finish off purples like him and just get him in the freezer. But otherwise, and certainly for my roster, he'll just wind up sitting around until one or two things happens, until he hits the portal and I just randomly get the last star, or until I absolutely need that last tick on communicator and he's the guy that's going to get my purple citation that's sitting around.
Actually, just did the math real quick. He is actually the 10th non-legendary royalty crew, so he'll make it possible to hit that 10 mark without a single legendary crew. And some of the royalty crew, just like the Orions, are old, decrepit, and you don't want to spend your time and your crew retrievals and your citations on them.
Sorry, Prince Bashir.
Ugh, my favorite crew, man.
But can he even be your favorite prince at this point?
Make way for Prince Bashir. Who's going to sing it live?
So before
Make
we...
way for Prince Bashir.
only on the charity stream.
I'm going to round out and put the crystal ball back in its beautiful inlaid felt box soon. But one more thing I'll leave our listeners with is just some name drops. That's all we have. We don't have any stats, nothing else. But a preview of things to come here on the Big Book Podcast. Look forward to in the future hearing about Orion Hurricane Spock, Bar Owner Quark, Displaced Boimler, Investigator Tuvok, Perrin, Ariana, Don Tucker, Leslie Thompson. Otto, we just watched an episode that may have our Investigator Tuvok in it in ex post facto, the 8th episode of Star Trek Voyager. Might be the guy. He was great in that episode. But any of these other names sticking out to you as memorables from episodes you love?
First of all, I'm disappointed, Dan, that you didn't go for the dad joke of Spock you like a hurricane. That should have been top of the list right there.
Thanks for filling in that gap.
Yet another Tucker. Tucker is a bit of a Tucker renaissance recently. Unless, of course, this is a different Dawn Tucker, like a female Tucker that I'm not aware of from a show that I haven't seen.
Yeah, it's D-A-W-N, not D-O-N. No. Hey, it's Dawn Tucker. You got to pay respects at the Italian restaurant.
Well, I look at the episode on Memory Alpha, and I see a shirtless Trip Tucker. So already this is going to be juicy art.
Last thing I'll say. As you get out your decoder rings and figure out if I'm trying to tell you to drink more Ovaltine or not, is make sure you level all your saboteur crew.
Ooh.
Sounds like you're collecting some thoughts there, Frank.
I am collecting some thoughts. And, you know, if I were to say they're short of 80 of a top threshold in the next collection coming up, they saboteured themselves, it'll probably stop at 60.
So, team, that brings us to the end of another Big Book Podcast. Any final notes to end the show on?
The town of Wawa, Ontario has, I believe, the world's largest Canada Goose statue. So, once again, folks, go to Canada.
That's just loony.
Boo! Boo!
That'll wrap up the Big Book Podcast for this week. Thanks for joining us, and see you next time.